Hey, we got some more Charlie.
Jubilatem Deo
Chantax with Mark Emerson Donnelly.
Hi, folks. This is part two of my interview with Charlie Weaver. If you didn't catch the first part, go back and listen to Chant Hacks 11. In this second part, we discuss primarily the role sight singing plays in making you a competent choral musician. Let's dive right in.
I remember a story of a friend of mine from college who was going to Notre Dame at the time, doing a graduate work at Notre Dame, and they were going to sing a mass in honor of St. Thomas Becket. And they had a few fellows who were going to sing in the Scola. And one of the fellows who was a semiologist dropped out just a couple of days before. And he says, look, I just don't have time to prepare. I don't have time to go over the manuscripts. And my friend, who was a fairly accomplished musician, was like, all we're going to do is get together and sing chant at mass. You know, and they were all students. So you can't put hours and hours into preparing for one mass. You know, in fact, that's why, you know, people should learn how to sight sing. Because if you have to memorize the melodies and then think about how you're supposed to sing it, you've probably quadrupled the amount of time it's going to take you to prepare for a mass. And nobody has time for that, especially in traditional mass communities where your parish is not territorial. So your best singer might live over an hour away from the church. And if he has a family, you know, if you have a 9 o'clock mass, you can't expect him to get his family there at 7:30 on a Sunday morning. And maybe you can't even expect him to come out to a rehearsal during the week. But if you can sight read, and if you have rules of style, and you have notation, that can be, everybody understands how it's supposed to be sung, then I think you're three quarters of the way there to having a decent rendering of the chant week in, week out.
Yeah, and then you could build on that perhaps, you know, by incorporating some of the more historical stuff when you have time to do it. But it's good to stay grounded. It's right. So in approaching questions of chant research and chant rhythm, it's good to stay grounded in the practice of a parish musician. You sing the mass propers every Sunday, perhaps a bit of the office every week, but you don't necessarily have time to as you say, prepare for hours and hours for each mass, because that's a little bit unrealistic from the practical point of view.
I remember doing a tonsure ceremony. I guess this was in the 90s. And we were doing it with a seminary, Scola. And so our parish Scola was like, we would do something, they would do something. And it turns out that they were so ill-prepared that partway through their Scola director said, well, can your Scola just do the rest of the stuff? And we hadn't prepared it, but you know, they were antiphons and they weren't that difficult. But again, we had a group that was expected to read. I mean, I don't like running Scola or choir rehearsals where, okay, let's all sit around the piano and learn how to learn what the tune is. You know, a choir rehearsal or a Scola rehearsal isn't a sectional. rehearsal where someone sits down and plunks out the thing and then everybody else tries to follow along. It's a time when we're trying to be musical together. And it just seemed, curious to me, again, coming out of music school. Where did you do your undergrad?
I started at the Peabody Conservatory in Baltimore.
Okay.
As a guitarist, actually. And then I sort of switched to lute. But I ended up finishing my undergraduate at Queens College, CUNY, which is part of the City University of New York. And I couldn't agree more about the importance of being able to actually read music and audiate it. That is to be able to look at a piece of music and hear how it's supposed to go without using something like a piano to tell you. It's such a foundational skill for a musician that it's hard to believe, it's hard to understand from our point of view how anyone could not have that skill and still, you know, profess to be a choral singer. But it's, some people have an easy time learning it. I never really had difficulty with it. And for other people, it's quite a years long task to learn how to read music and to sight sing.
Being a tenor, I'm kind of in, tenors are always in high demand. And so when I got to UBC, I auditioned at University of British Columbia on both trombone and voice. And my trombone audition was terrible. It was the morning after our band tour was over.
So you had no chops.
Yeah, and the bus broke down on the way home. So we got home quite late. So I wasn't really planning to audition on voice, but I had sung some, you know, Gilbert and Sullivan and other things. And I directed our folk choir at Mass. And so I said, well, I was thinking of possibly auditioning on voice too, which wasn't really true. I just didn't. At the time, I got accepted into the jazz and commercial music program at a local community college. I was only auditioning for UBC to satisfy my mother, because she thought, why would you go to a community college when you could go to a university? So, but if I wasn't going to go to a university, I wanted to be the one who rejected them, not them reject me. And so, it was pride. I lied, and I had committed the sin of pride. And, God has a funny way of doing things. I got the vocal audition, and on the first, I got into the touring choir too. And when I went to the first rehearsal, the first piece was Laudibus in Sanctis by Byrd. And they handed the music out and everybody started singing. And I thought, did I miss the first rehearsal? Because they just started singing all the parts together. There was no plunking out of the part. And so when I started at university, and I didn't even know sight reading was a thing or sight singing was a thing. And so I started, and it took me probably a good 2 to 3 years to learn how to do it. And the thing that pushed me over the edge was the Gregorian chant, in that we started a schola. My brother, who's a priest now in Vancouver, my brother studied at Le Mans, France, at the Schola Saint-Grégoire. And he actually studied with Denise Le Bon. And we all got our 1974 graduales and started. I just loved it so much. I just put the book by my bedside, and every night that was my treat, to read through the melodies. So I'd read through the chant melodies for, you know, 10 to 15 minutes. And that's how I really learned how to sight read. I didn't learn to sight read through the musicianship courses that we had to take at university. So it's, you know, it may have come fairly easy for you. For me, it didn't come easy, but it was really just the desire to be able to sing these things. And of course, you don't want to hear the chant played on the piano all the time. And generally, you have to know all your keys really well then to do that, if you want to do it in the key you're going to do it. So So that's how that came about. But I still wound up being the worst sight reader pretty well in when I was at university. I was when you got into the chamber choir, I was the last person to get into the chamber choir. And everybody else was great. When I don't know, is that how it was it when you were at undergrad? Pretty well everybody could sight read and sight sing?
It varies from place to place. I mean, I don't find that it's a widespread skill among singers.
It seems like about back when you were an undergrad though? Was it or was it not?
No, some people could do it and some people could not. And now that I'm a teacher, I'm terribly interested in how this skill could be acquired by students. And it's interesting to me that you say, you know, you didn't learn to do it from the musicianship classes you had at university, which tells me that maybe those classes aren't what they should be. And I'm wondering sort of what would happen if I just canceled my sight singing classes for my undergraduates and said, why don't you just go sing through a little bit of the Graduale each night before bed and come back in a year and tell me how your sight singing has improved. I don't know that I would really be able to get away with that.
Well, I could, maybe if you supplemented with, say, okay, sing the Graduale out of the Graduale or the Liber. And for every four or five chants you sing, go to CPDL. And just pull up a motet at random and start singing one of the parts. You know, so yep. Those who don't know it, Choral Public Domain Library. But that, to me, it's not so much a course that you need, but really just going out and trying to do it.
Well, it's interesting that, I mean, in my experience, the singers who are really good are generally European students who, when they were small children, had a ton of training in solfège from a young age, and often in a manner that we would not teach it, like just endless rote repetition of solfège. And a lot of those students I find are quite competent at reading music, knowing how it goes without playing it at the piano. And it's hard to sort of recreate that level of mastery in an American undergraduate who doesn't come from a background like that. You know, so we teach them solfège, but they don't necessarily have any idea from those classes of how to apply it to actually sitting down and reading a piece of music. And so it's a really difficult question. Well, how do you sort of transmit this ability to people?
Abbott Anderson, I had a talk with Abbott Anderson at Clear Creek. And we were talking about sight reading, and he was kind of perplexed. He said these young monks don't have any music from their childhood. And he says, so for instance, they have no idea what mi fa sol sounds like. And so I said, well, what's your mi fa sol? And he said, pardon me. I said, well, what's your mi fa sol? And he goes, the theme to the Dick Van Dyke Show. Da 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 da. So mi fa sol, and I said, "Well, my mi fa sol was 'Till There Was You' from The Music Man." You know, there were birds in the sky, but I never saw them winging mi fa sol. And so, you know, I'm sure when you were first learning how to sight read, everybody talked about recognition melodies. You know. And their little motifs, like if you wanted to do sol do, it was Here Comes the Bride, you know, or you wanted to do the thing that was always difficult was the major sixth.
My so, body lies over the ocean.
Or yeah, the, or wait till or the sun shines, Nelly, yeah. Or the NBC chime.
The NBC chime, yeah, exactly right.
You know, so, but you would do that. And actually we would get tested on that. I mean, I took a musicianship course in grade 11 and we get tested on that. Surprisingly, I never related it to singing.
Well, that's sort of the missing link, because if you have all these skills, you then need to be able to apply them so that you are musically literate, right? I mean, we expect a certain level of literacy with written language, And yet maybe our expectations are not as high for being able to read music, but it's absolutely essential. As you say, a rehearsal should just be assumed that everyone in the rehearsal can read the music, and the things you work on are not just plunking out the notes on the piano and learning how to copy them and memorize them. It's a very inefficient way to sing.
And not everybody has to show up being a stellar sight reader. Just wherever you are when you start, I'd like you to be more competent next year at it. You know, so it's a matter of just getting better. And it's like I tell people with the chant, the great thing about it's a little harder in the new rite when you have the 3-year cycle. But in the old rite, you know, if you don't sing a chant as well as you want to, you got another shot at it next year. Sometimes halfway through the year, if the proper's repeated, you know, so, and yeah, your Gregorian chant's a lifelong occupation, whether you're a professional musician or whether you're just someone who sings in a school a week in, week out. And so you just do it. And however well you did it, that's how you did it. Hopefully the Holy Spirit smoothed a few things out for you, which usually happens, you know, from the choir loft down to the nave. Generally, it sounds a lot better than in the choir loft. So, but you just keep doing it, you know, week in, week out, year in, year out. The ordinary, you can't really learn how to sing the chant if you don't learn how to sing the propers. I think, what do you think of that?
Yeah, they are the foundational repertoire. They're some of the oldest melodies. They are the reference point, I would say, for a real understanding of chant.
So, you know, even if you don't have a female scola, if you want your treble voices to really sing the chant well, they have to sing some propers. You know, I just think that's kind of it's a sine qua non, really, of learning how to sing chant.
I know for a lot of you, sight singing seems like a daunting, almost impossible task. But trust me that if you work at it little by little each day, you will be amazed at where you are in 1 year. And remember, wherever you are in your music development today, the most important thing is that you work to get better so that you are better next year than you are today. Please consider supporting us by commissioning a piece of music, signing up for some chant, voice, or conducting lessons, or helping out financially on the Missa Sicut Cervus recording project. Email me at mark@vocalart.org or Alana@vocalart.org. You can also support us directly on our day-to-day work by going to lifeunder.com/mdonnellymusic. I'm Mark Emerson Donnelly. God bless.